Children fifth grade and under are dismissed at this time if they would like to go to children's church. Can I tell you something that really just amazing to me? When we had the Acolyte training, it was right after lunch a couple of weeks back, and we had the three kids in here, and they did a great job listening and learning, but they had such an excitement about it. Once they got their robes on and they learned what to do, we practiced together coming down, lighting the candles, putting them out, taking the light back out into the world. The kids were literally dancing and jumping up and down. They were so excited, and they kept saying over and over again, "Can I do it again? Can I do it again?" Tate was so excited to be Acolyte that he didn't just wait for someone to give him permission. He just went ahead and did it, right? Avea was so excited that for the last 2 days, she said, "Daddy, can I be the Acolyter on Sunday?" Y'all, I think that there's a joy and excitement about the love of God. And I think that it's important for us to look to the faith of children sometimes to remember how excited we should be to be in God's presence. If you have your Bibles with me, I'm going to invite you to open them to Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. And sometimes for us adults, perhaps we might not be jumping up and down and running down the aisles of the church to show that we're excited. But I think that there are other ways that we can find joy and love and just excitement in being in God's presence. For thousands of years, if you didn't know this, Christians have found different ways to pray. If you didn't know this, over the last 2,000 years, there's actually been 40 different ways I'm aware of, and probably more, that Christians have prayed. And today, I want to invite you to experience some of them. As the chime rings out, I invite you to let it echo out into yourself. And in so doing, prepare yourself to let the word of God echo throughout your soul. As we center our hearts and our minds, one day Jesus was sitting on a hillside. He was teaching. And perhaps, as the Gospel of Luke adds, at one point one of the disciples looked at him and said, "Lord, will you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples?" This is where Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. But before he did, he said this. From Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. Listen to this from the Word of God. "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask." The word of God for you, the people of God. Will you go on to the next slide for me? One more. There we are, right there. Have you ever seen one of these before? This is called a prayer labyrinth, okay? And no, I'm not talking about the ones that are mazes behind castles. But if you didn't know this, the ones that are mazes were actually based on these. And this one is actually in Leesburg, Florida. And just a few days ago, I had the chance to walk this prayer labyrinth with my girls. Now, what you need to understand is that right before Christians began to migrate out of the Middle East for the very first time, many Christians would make a yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem so that they could literally walk in the steps of Jesus. They can see the places that they hear about their Savior preaching at and things that he did. They can experience being in his presence. Well, when Christians began to migrate out of the Middle East for the very first time, many of them began to go to Rome. It was kind of hard to make a yearly pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, right? It's not very easy to spend a week or more on a boat to get there and back. And so they actually created this, and they call it a pilgrimage of the soul. And if you go on the next slide for me, the way that a prayer labyrinth works is it has one path in, one path out, and no dead ends. Okay? And as you walk into this prayer labyrinth and you start to go around a little bit, you'll find that very quickly you're near the center of it. But as you start to go around a little more, you find yourself getting closer and closer to the outer edge. The center of it reminds us of the presence of God. And when you come in, it's like that moment when you first give your heart to Christ, or you have one of those moments when there's a moment of clarity or closeness to God. That happens right away in the movement, but then when Satan first attacks us after those, which he has a bad habit of doing, doesn't he? We find ourselves quickly feeling as if we're far away. But through the twists and turns of life, sometimes it gets confusing, but if we stay in the path, we find ourselves right in the center, which represents our eternity with God. And you're to actually walk the same path back out again, which represents the fact that we are to take this with us where we go, and we're to take this knowledge and this love back out into the world. Well, when Avey and I and Alara were walking this path, I was carrying Alara for most of it because she didn't like those bushes. And of course, Avey ran way far ahead of us. And so Avey would be on, you know, three or four rows over from me. And she kept saying, "Daddy, am I on the right path? Daddy, am I going the right way?" And I just kept saying over and over, "Baby girl, you got this. It's all right. Just keep going. Don't turn around. Daddy, am I going the right way?" Have we ever prayed something like that to God? "Daddy, am I doing the right thing?" Just stay in the path. Just keep going forward. She said to me, "Daddy is very twisty and turny." She used the word twisty quite a bit. I said, "Yeah, Bugaboo, sometimes life is confusing. And it's hard, but we just need to trust that God is leading us the right way. Just keep going." "Daddy, this is really long." "Yeah, sometimes we go through things that take a long time. But we just need to trust God in them. That he is still with us and following us." I got to share that with my little girl. And years from now, when she sees a prayer labyrinth, do you think that it could be a powerful tool for her prayer life? You know, I think this is what Jesus is trying to give us here. He's trying to give us tools that we may have a deep, rich, open, and authentic prayer life with our God. I mean, do you feel as if you connect to God in prayer? I think some of us say yes, but I also think there are a number of Christians who feel like, "I don't really know if I connect with God." I think that there are some of us who feel like there should be more to prayer than this. I believe there are Christians who feel like my prayers, I'm just not sure if they really get past the ceiling or if they just hit the ceiling and stay there. And it's important for us to recognize that we are always going to experience the presence of God. And that's okay. But like the disciples sitting on that hillside that day, I wonder if there are Christians, I wonder if there's even some of us here today who, like those disciples, are sitting there saying, "I want to know I've been in the presence of God. I want to know that I am connecting with my God." And I think that is part of what Jesus is trying to give us in some of these tools that he mentioned. This morning, what I want to do is I want to partner with Jesus. And through these scriptures, I want us to go a little deeper into some of the tools that Christians have used for the last 2,000 years to experience God through prayer. We've already actually done some of that here this morning. I mean, we prayed over these boxes, and we are trusting in the power of God to go out all over the world and touch lives we'll never see their faces and know that God's love goes with it. Y'all have been passing around a pumpkin, right? And putting on their praises to God. Something that many families do, they make thankful lists. But because we're specifically doing this with the mindset of praising God, aren't those pumpkins a form of prayer? Now, I think it's important for us to point out that an authentic, deep, and rich prayer life is no happy accident. And I think it's important to point that out because there seems to be this unspoken rule, this myth out there that I believe in God and I pray once in a while, and so I should be connected to God. I should feel like I have a deep, rich prayer life. But some Christians feel like there's more to it than that, and I'm just not getting there. But just like a good, deep relationship with a spouse, I think that a strong prayer life is one that takes work. It's one that we need to be open to God with. We need to be authentic with ourselves and trusting Him. Because just like a relationship with a child or a friend or a spouse, when we do this over and over, we find ourselves closer to that person. We find ourselves trusting them even more. And when that happens, we find ourselves connected to them a little more, just like with God. And when we find ourselves more connected to God, we find ourselves feeling more stronger in trusting Him. And when we find ourselves more stronger in trusting Him and a deeper connection to Him, all of a sudden, we start seeing God at work around us in ways we might not have noticed before. Well, we see things in the Scriptures that speak to us in ways that we never noticed. We feel His nudging, His pushing in our lives. And through having an open and authentic and deep and rich and transparent prayer life with Him, we hear God's voice pushing us, moving us, guiding us in our lives in ways we never did before that. You know, Jesus begins in our Scripture by challenging us not to be fake. He says that we shouldn't basically put on a show for other people when we pray. For those people have already received their reward. They got attention, right? But I think that it goes even more into this, that we can say we shouldn't just put on a show for God. When we pray, don't use words that you just think God wants to hear. Tell Him what's really on your heart. The things that are really going on in your soul. He already knows them anyways. So don't just tell God what you think He wants to hear. And I think it's also important for us to point out that Jesus isn't talking about communal or corporate prayer here, okay? Because when we pray as a community together, something beautiful does happen in that space. I mean, many of us were taught how to pray by listening to other people, right? As a matter of fact, you may have heard me say things like Daddy or Papa when I pray. I was taught that. Someone else did that when I was in undergrad school, and it meant so much to me that it stuck with me. As a matter of fact, at Beans and Bibles earlier this week, we were actually talking a little bit about this, and a friend of mine that was there said that he knows somebody that was just a good old farmer, and he would say something to the effect of, "God, it's Bob again." Without even meaning to, that guy was mentoring in how to pray. And so I think it's important that we do pray as families and as a community of believers. But Jesus is specifically talking about personal prayer here in this Scripture. Okay? And He says that we are to go away to a quiet place by ourselves. And I think the reason that He does this is, first of all, because we need to be in a place where there's no distractions. I mean, if we're watching TV or we're listening to the radio, we're playing on our phone, we're not really giving 100% of ourselves to that prayer, are we? It's like if you've ever had a friend or a spouse or a loved one who you're sitting there trying to have a conversation with and they're just texting on their phone, you're kind of like, you're not really into this, are you? None of y'all have ever done that, right? Okay, good. Just want to make sure. All right. But I also think that when we go away into a private place and we shut the door behind us, so to speak, we have this ability to say things we might not have done so in front of others. To share with God the deep things, the secret things. To thank Him for things we might not have said out loud in front of other people. to not be worried about the words that we use or getting it right as much because other people are listening, but just be good with the fact that God is listening. And so you don't have to get it perfect. We have this ability when we're alone to open up more to God and to just praise Him and name the joys and the hurts and the needs and just be more authentic with our God. And you know, I've seen this quiet place be a lot of different things for a lot of people. For some people, it's an office or a den. For some people, I've actually known them to literally clean out a closet and have a prayer closet where they can go in there and shut the door behind them. I've known some people that take their dog on a walk early in the morning when nobody else is around and just talk to God. Or just walk and be in His presence. I've known some people to go and sit on their porch swing and just take a deep breath and just know that God is there. I've known some people that have done this and say that when I drive alone in the car, that's my quiet place. I've known some people to say, I do it in the shower. I mean, you're already alone anyways, right? It's kind of relaxing with the hot water running over us. And it's a quiet place to be with God. Isn't this what a prayer labyrinth is anyways? It's a walk with God. As you came in, I hope you got a little yellow piece of paper. And if you didn't, they're at the exits. Please, please, please grab one and take it with you. And please take these with you. I don't want to find them in the pews and clean them up later. I want to be lazy and I want you all to take them. But if you open this up, you'll notice in the very back there is a prayer labyrinth. You can take that quiet place with you. You can take a pen with a cap on it and just slowly trace it. And perhaps pray for the places that you need strength or clarity or God's direction on the way in. And pray that same clarity and strength and direction for others as you do it on the way out. You can pray for your family as you trace the path in. And pray for the community or the world as you trace the path back out again. Or you can just be quiet and be in the presence of God. You know, in these quiet places that Jesus encourages us to be in, I've seen people put candles there. I've seen people put crosses, Bibles. And I've seen some people who will focus on these when they pray. Is it okay for us to pray with our eyes open sometimes? You know, in the Old Testament, there's accounts of great saints who would drop to their knees and they wouldn't close their eyes and fold their hands, but they would look up towards heaven and raise their arms in praise when they prayed. And so I've seen people who will use things like a candle or a cross or the Bible, and they'll stare at that as they pray. Because sometimes when we realize that we don't have the physical form of God, His presence tangibly, physically among us, isn't here, though His Spirit is, having something to look at helps. It helps us feel connected. And as a matter of fact, if you go on to the next slide for me, Christians have been doing this also for hundreds of years. And it's called praying with icons. Now, it's important to note that we are not praying to these objects, but these objects are tools to help us connect with our God. This one right here is called Christ the Teacher. There are other ones called Christ the Healer. There are some of them like this where you see Jesus teaching. Other ones like you see a picture of Jesus with Mary and Martha, or with the woman at the well, or healing someone, or Holy Communion. And when you need to pray for clarity or direction, and you know you're looking at something called Christ the Teacher, for some that helps. But I don't think that it just needs to be the things that were intended to be tools for prayer. Would you go on the next one for me, please? Can we pray while looking at this? You'll remember, these are tools to help you to pray. And if you didn't know this, many of these, including this one right here, this is just a reproduction because I'm not rich enough to get the real thing. People will spend days and weeks and even months sometimes praying even before beginning to paint this. And often they'll take an idea about what praise they want to bring to God, what prayer they want to bring to Him. Rather, that is repentance or hope or His majesty or His grace. And the whole process of painting them to that person is one prayer. How many of you here are artists? Whether you like to paint or to draw, whether you like to work with wood or you just love to doodle, whatever that is, can that be prayer to you? It has been for believers for hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, again, if you go on the next slide for me, this is called a rose window, okay? And one more slide, please. It might be hard for you to see, but inside of each and every one of those circles is a picture of a Bible story. And the whole thing together tells this beautiful tapestry of stories about Christ. But some rose windows actually don't have photos inside of them. Sometimes they'll start with that same thing. They'll start with a praise. They'll start with hope or grace. That they'll start with repentance or what it means to them to recognize the glory of God. And Christians have used something that actually didn't come from our culture. We adopted it, called a mandala. And that's also on the back of your paper here. And if they took repentance, for example, they might start in the center of it. And they would say, what color is God's hope to me right now? And they move out. What color is His forgiveness? What color is repentance for me? What color is reconciliation and closeness to God? And this is a form of praying called praying without words. Because as Romans 8 tells us, Romans 8:26, that in our weakness, sometimes the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to say. And He speaks to God on our behalf with wordless groans. And if you didn't know it, in a sense, Christians began the first adult coloring books, and this is what they were. And so these can be different ways you can pray. And believers have used for hundreds of years. I've seen people take a word and they'll write hope. And where the O is, they'll write down the long way, love. And where the E is on love, they might write across enough, meaning God is enough for them. And they'll try to keep going and find one more word and one more word and one more word. And that is a prayer to them. You know, Jesus continues on in our scripture. He says that we are not to babble on and on as people of other religions do. And I think it's important to point out that I don't believe Jesus is saying it's not okay to say the same words. Because in just a few seconds, He gave us the Lord's Prayer, right? Which we say over and over again. But He says in this scripture that they think they're heard because of their many words. If you have a prayer that you pray every night, whether it's the Lord's Prayer or something you were taught or even something that you've kind of developed over the years, there's nothing wrong with that. I think what Jesus is saying here is mean the words you say. Don't just talk to talk. Have you ever known someone to use 1,000 words to say absolutely nothing at all? Never heard a preacher do that before, have you? Okay, good. Just want to make sure. But I think what Jesus is saying here is the words you use, make sure they mean something to you. Don't just use flowery words that you think God wants to hear. Now, if you connect with God better through praying in Old English-style language, go for it. That's what some of us were taught. If you pray to God better through just having a conversation like you would with a friend, do it. If you pray better to God by just having a few words throughout the day with Him, go for it. You know, the point is, do you connect with God? Are you being authentic with yourself? As a matter of fact, sometimes when we use pre-written prayers, they help us because the saints of old were better able to say something. And we read that and we go, now that's what I've been trying to say. And I haven't been able to put it together yet. There's something called the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer that has meant so much to me. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Brought high for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious God, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And may the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. What is a worship song or a hymn but a form of prayer? A worship song can be a prayer if we sing it with an attitude that God is our audience and the words we use are meant to be a prayer to Him. For hundreds of years, Christians have journaled their prayers. You can actually find the prayers of saints. And one of the neat things about this is if you connect to God better through writing, do it. And then a couple months later, go back and look back over what you've written, and you will see ways that God has answered your prayers and worked in your life you may have missed otherwise. Or if you just need to write something down, and it's not something that you want to hold on to because it's that personal and intimate to you. I had a friend who was a chaplain in the hospital. She would go into the chaplain's office, and she would write a prayer. And then when the screen came up that said, save or don't save, she'd hit don't save. And when she did, in her heart, she was sending it off to God. Perhaps for you or for your children or your neighbors, you do better texting than you do typing. Some people, they prefer to communicate through text. You can text God. 555-555-5555. We all know that nobody has that phone number. So when it gets sent off, it doesn't go to anybody. But who does it go to? It goes to God. You can text a prayer to the Lord. Sometimes we feel like, well, I don't have the right words, and we can get caught up in trying to say so much just to get it right. There's an ancient prayer style called a breath prayer, where the entire prayer is said in one breath. God, help me. Thank you. Lord, I needed that. God, I know you're with me. As a matter of fact, Christians have prayed the scriptures for hundreds of years. If you didn't know this, in early Christendom, there were groups of people in the Middle East who would leave society and go live out in the desert. They were called the Desert Fathers, and that's actually where monks and nuns come from. And one of the things they would do is they would take the Psalms. If you didn't notice this before, many of the Psalms are actually pre-written prayers. They're designed to be prayers or poems to God. And they would pray them, they would read them with a heart as if they were praying those words to God. And they would have a bowl of stones with 150 rocks in it, and they take one out and they pray it and they put it in the other bowl. Well, it's kind of hard to walk around with 150 rocks in your pocket. So they would later take cotton ropes. I got this one from a Greek Orthodox shrine. And they would pray the prayer and pray it and move around with it in their hand. This is actually the father, if you will, of what many of us know as the rosary today, which has taken on a different form of praying with beads. But it's also the father of, if you took the prayer class with Priscilla, who was kind enough to offer us several times, of the Protestant prayer beads that many of us learned about. You know, this paper here has within it several other ways to pray scripture. To just find one verse that really means something to you, make it a prayer. It has several other ways for you to connect with God. I really encourage you, take this home. And this week, before Thanksgiving, I have two challenges for you. First of all, if you have a yearning to be closer to God, sometimes what we need to do is we just need to go serve somebody. We may say in the church sometimes that it's a partnership of piety, which is the worship of God, and good works, which is serving others. We have a deadline. Thursday's coming. Before it gets here, give someone else a reason to be thankful this year. And before it gets here, give your soul one more reason to be thankful yourself. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for this love and grace. We thank you that you allow us to connect with you in so many beautiful ways, to center ourselves on you, our hearts, our minds. We pray, Lord, that as we may try something we haven't before, or perhaps try to pray to you in ways we have in the past and haven't for a while, we ask, Lord, that you would teach us what you want, that you guide us in the ways you will, and that in all of it, we may find ourselves closer to your heart. We pray this through Christ. Amen.